Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to We're Not Fucking Historians, the show that takes on Irish history with some facts, some pretty sketchy facts, and plenty of laughs, all being well. I'm Shane Todd.
And I'm Hazel Hayes.
Yeah, and today we've got, look, I mean, we talk about history, we're making history right now. It's our first guest episode. I can't believe this.
This is massive. Absolutely massive. And hopefully the first of many guest episodes, depending how we treat this guest, I suppose.
It's not been a good start. Hazel, what about when we were trying to figure out our tabs and our windows there?
We've been having some technical setup for so long that Shane suggested it. He might begin to think it was a prank show. But yeah, look, we're going to be getting in some familiar Irish faces, hopefully, just to talk about their favourite stories from Irish history, have a bit of a laugh, get to know them better. And maybe, who knows, maybe one day Imelda May will come on and set the record straight with Shane about a few things.
It's the Irish beef that nobody needed. Look, even though we talk about history, obviously, our guest is a guy from the present.
Wow.
He has been in history, you know, leading up to this, like even up until yesterday. He's a guy that has a history, but he's also in the present, and hope to God he's in the future. It's the one and only, everyone's favourite Irishman on the internet. And can I just say, before we start, that was written by the producer of the show, everyone's favourite Irishman on the internet. I'm pissed off, but we'll let that go because our guest is Michael Fry. Michael, thanks for being our first ever guest.
Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I was the first one. I'm honoured. And I hope I don't mess this up, because then you might decide we're not going to do any more guests.
We hope you don't mess this up. Our careers are kind of depending on it. So, you know, fall short.
Michael, do you prefer the past or the present?
I'm going to say the present.
Yes.
just because I don't know if you ever watched those movies like The Commitments or like films that were set even in the 90s.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just think, God, how bad everyone must have smelled back then, or like, you know, how hard life was just for general, just ordinary people in Ireland. So I'm actually quite glad I was born when I was, you know.
We've turned it around.
Yeah.
And look, you know, you guys are both from the south. I'm from the north. Mm-hmm. Please don't at any point alienate me and start speaking Irish, because
Sorry, I've already done a little bit of it. I won't do any more.
I know, I was very tempted to go Ulster Scots.
So before we jump in, I hate doing this to people because I feel like everyone should just know who you are, Michael. You know what I mean?
It's Michael, what
I'm sure he agrees. But for the sake of the couple of people, mm-hmm. the very small handful of people who may not know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. I feel like I've turned into an Irish school teacher all of a sudden, having a guest on.
It's like in your French oral where it's like, oh yeah, I live in Navan and I have three brothers and that kind of thing. No, I'm a comedian, I think is the best way to describe me. I do sketch comedy on the internet. I have a few characters that I do, but I also do a lot of music. So one thing I do that is pretty popular is I take clips from the internet and I put them to 2000s indie music, or sometimes Irish folk, depending on what the video is.
Your Christy Moore is a personal favourite of mine.
I do enjoy doing that. Yeah.
Christy. Yeah.
Because it feels deeply sacrilegious to people who are like big fans of Christie. So they're like, what the hell is this? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, it's funny is what it is. So I don't know.
Fucking hilarious and pretty accurate as well. You also have a character I adore. Sorry, the rest of the podcast is just me fangirling over you now. You also have a character I adore who's, it's funny, I don't know her name, but she's an Irish mother who is constantly on the phone to her friend Catherine. So Catherine is the name I know, but I don't know if she has a name.
Oh, she's also called Catherine.
They're both called Catherine. Yeah.
So there was a big reveal. I did a Christmas special about 2 years ago, and it was like a 4.5 minute monologue, kind of based on Love Actually, if you know what I mean. And basically the reveal is that her name is also Catherine.
Anyone who has ever heard an Irish mammy on the phone in their lives, it's uncanny. The impression is uncanny, especially the bit where they say yes and agree while inhaling.
Yeah. So
if you could just do a quick impression.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Did it really like pop off for you over lockdown a lot? Like, was that when you think you had a lot more time to make sketches and put more time into what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm sure it was the same with you. Like, but like, I didn't have a commute anymore. So at the time I was working, but after work I'd be like, okay, well, what now? And so I was just bored. And it was kind of like everyone was on the internet as well. So it was this kind of thing of like anything I did was seen by everybody, you know? Even people I would never reach normally. I remember I did, like the first one that kind of popped off during lockdown was I did a parody of the Loose Women theme tune. Set it to my favourite game with the Cardigans. And like Stacey Solomon found it. And like Denise Welsh followed me over it, and it was just like, well, okay, like that never would have happened in normal circumstances. But because everyone was on the internet all the time, people saw everything. So it worked so well.
Pre-pandemic, there's no way Denise Welsh is dropping a follow. But
like, just can't see it happening, different you know? Times.
That's how you knew it was different times. And were you, you know, on this podcast, look, we talk loosely about history and we are into history, but we don't like know a lot about it. What were you like in school when it came to history?
So I did it for my junior cert. I didn't do it for my leaving cert. And I can't remember what the reason for that was. I think the subject choice, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I picked one kind of subject from every possible category there was. So I did like a mad combination. I did like French, chemistry, economics and geography. And so I didn't do history.
I think I did exactly those. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
A similar weird array of shit.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I don't know if I want to do science. I don't know. I did like it for junior set. That was fun. And my favorite bit, and everyone hates this bit, but my favorite bit was like the Industrial Revolution and like
Michael, come on, what are you doing?
Agricultural Revolution.
His favorite bit is the Industrial
Revolution. And like I knew all the like inventors' names, I knew all that sort of stuff, and it was just, I don't know. I spent a lot of time on it for some reason. I was just like, I love this shit, you know?
Look, we have an interest in history, and you know, look, I don't know a lot about my family's past or anything like that, but I'm interested in it. Mm. But I can't really be bothered to know, you know, to really go digging.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of effort.
But yeah, I mean, you kind of know a lot about your family's past when it comes to history, which I'm very, very jealous of. So what made you like do it? Like what made you look back on the family tree?
So I think we kicked it off. I don't think I would have naturally come to it unless I got a job. So I, straight out of college, my first job was I worked in the phones for Ancestry.com. So I worked the Australian line and I did like UK and then sometimes America. So part of the training for that was you had to go online and research your own family tree. I kind of just went in on a deep dive on it because once you start getting information, you kind of just go further and further back, you know? And I was lucky because like, you know, Ireland has some records. We don't have an amazing array of it because the census records were burned during the War of Independence.
Honestly, Michael, I think it's because there are fewer monks around.
Yeah.
If I had to
perhaps.
Guess.
Yeah.
Just from what we've learned, it does seem like they were pretty much keeping up the entire record keeping job. And then once the monks were gone, it all just got a little bit.
Do you know what? I actually would agree with that to an extent, right? Because if, apart from the census, the only thing you have are church records. So you have baptisms and you have marriages and deaths or whatever, and they'd be logged by churches, but the Catholic Church are not as good as the other churches. So Ireland
really?
Has...
Can we get you on record as saying that, Michael? Yes. Can we quote you on
Isolate
Twitter?
Isolate that, that's a clip.
just that soundbite, nothing else, no context. Oh, sorry, we should have said before you came on the pod, shit will just be taken out of context, maybe used against you.
Cool, yeah. Great. My long running feud with the Catholic Church, absolutely.
Michael, see when you worked at Ancestry, did you ever have people like getting in touch, like phoning up, claiming to be related to people, looking for you to verify it? Like, did you have people making wild claims, being like, oh, Ronan Keating's my uncle, you know, that kind of thing?
We did, actually, and it's a really common delusion for people who are kind of mentally ill, is that they assume they're related to Jesus or other kind of like royal families and things like that. And it was quite a common call we got. Yeah.
I'll be honest, before you got to the end of the sentence, I did think you were going to say Ronan Keating, and I was like, that's shocking. No, that's actually a common thing among the mentally ill,
aka Ireland's Jesus.
I did have a man who rang in, and he was delighted with himself because he was related to Sarah Beeny from Channel 4. I was like, cool.
Was he actually?
Yeah, just distantly. She was like his third cousin or something. He's like, it's actually Sarah Beeny. I was like, okay. Like,
you have to wonder what kind of life someone's lived. Like, that's the most exciting thing to know.
So when I went on the deep dive, an aunt of mine had actually already done loads of work on our family tree on my mother's side. Now, we got back to like the 1700s on like two or three branches, one from my dad's side and then a couple from my mother's side. And that's because the records in those areas were better. So Donegal, there are more Protestants than Donegal, so it's just better kept. And the same with Cork, and Offaly is the other one. So we kind of got quite far back on those areas. Donegal, my aunt had done some digging and went to some graveyards. She didn't do any digging in
Literally?
The graveyards. Yeah,
yeah. Did, you did make it sound a little bit like your aunt had done some digging in graveyards.
I worded that wrong. but basically, on gravestones and things like that, you could see beloved son of whatever and relate to this person, that person, the other. And we went back through a line. So I'm related to the O'Donnells in Donegal, like probably most people
Daniel?
From Donegal. I don't know Daniel. I'm not sure about Daniel, actually. He's from...
Shane, you covered them in an episode before. Do you remember? Wasn't it the O'Neills and the O'Donnells?
Yeah, do me a favour. Don't ask me anything about it.
I forget immediately after. But you did a whole thing about the O'Neills and the O'Donnells.
Yeah, so basically it's the same clan, I think, but I'm not sure the whole relationship there. And Red Hugh, I know Red Hugh O'Donnell is really famous, but he died childless.
Yeah.
So
we know Hugh.
He's
we
not.
Hugh.
We've done him.
You know.
P.S. Michael, we play pretty fast and loose with facts here. So if you want to just say they were related to the original O'Donnells, that's like totally fine. It's no problem.
I think they were. For what it's worth, I think so.
I say they were.
We can't prove it. Basically, my aunt found this man called Manus the Pike O'Donnell. So for those of you who don't know what a pike is, it is a spear with kind of like a little hook in the end, and it's designed specifically for attacking like horsemen and undoing like horses' reins and things like that. So this guy was particularly skilled with the pike. And he was a hero in the 1798 rebellion, or was big involved in that, and basically was captain of the United Irishmen in his area. So he attracted the law, basically, and a man called McGrath, I don't know his first name, ratted him out essentially to Captain Murray, who was kind of in charge of kind of the Foyle area, I think, and like kind of like Donegal and Lifford and that kind of area, whatever. Mm-hmm. And basically they got him, they arrested him, and they brought him to jail, and he was like basically tortured for a while. So he's like kind of restricted around his neck and his like hands and legs and stuff. There was no food, so he had very little water. He had 1 pint of water a day and some yellow bread, I think is what it says. There's like a whole text in Irish about this, and my Irish
Gross.
Isn't amazing. But yeah, and the other thing is rats ate through his shoes. So really unpleasant time, but he was tortured essentially over and over again. And he was like, the quote from him apparently is like, he had one son at the time, and he was like, I don't want my son to be the son of an informer. So didn't give up anybody, and then was tried in like a military court. So the reason military court is important is because trial by combat actually hadn't happened since about 1583. So it's not trial by combat that happened. It is just kind of when you're under martial law, when people are invaded and stuff like that, the military can try in whatever way they like. So hence the torture and that sort of shit. But basically, there was a trial. The guy McGrath pulled out, didn't give his testimony, and was basically kind of, the guys were embarrassed, Captain Murray or whatever. And he was like, right, well, you know, I'm still not letting you go free unless you can unseat a dragoon, which is like a man on a horseback with a spear. And I'm going to give you a pike. And if you can unseat him, you can go free.
When you said Magnus the Pike, initially I thought of the fish. And he was very skilled with pike. And I was like, what was he doing with them?
That would be funny. Like a big comedy kind of fish thing.
Comedy pike. Like the kind, you know, like quite slippery. The kind maybe you'd put up even on a like a pub wall that they sing.
Yeah. One of those things, rebel songs.
Coming out with this in front of the whole court. Yeah. Poor Alfred.
Not that kind of pike, but I like the imagery. Essentially, they gave him like a pike. Your man charged at him. The guy on the horse was told, kill him in secret. And Manus O'Donnell was told, under no circumstances, kill this man, right? You've unseated him. And he did unseat him. So it was kind of like a David and Goliath type thing. Basically, the guy fell off the horse. Manus O'Donnell pointed the spear in his face and was like, well, now I'm free, you know? And then Captain Murray was like, well, I'm going to give you 500 lashes anyway. And he was like, what the hell? That was not the deal we promised. And a passing Lord Cavan, came by and was like, nah, let him free. Come on, what are you doing? And basically, Manus O'Donnell lived a free man for the rest of his life. So a nice little story from my past.
How delighted are you when you see a passing lord?
Yeah.
A passing lord, yeah. That's the way it's described in some of the annals. Yeah.
You don't just want a passing peasant. You don't want someone who has no influence.
Yeah. No. Thank God it was him. Thank God it was him and not another, I don't know, captain or something.
Just some passing prick who's just happy to just kind of watch
him
get
lashed. Yeah, the worst kind of pass.
The worst kind.
Folks, we are going to take a very, very quick break. We will be back to hear all about Michael's lineage, his family tree, and get to know him a little bit more as well after these messages.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go back to that story, but yeah. I do want to ask, say I want to look back on my family tree, which mm-hmm. I'd be so nervous about looking at. Yeah, but no, what I mean is, like, you know, when you watch when you watch BBC programs like Who Do You Think You Are, mm-hmm. Like that, there's always one relative where you go, oh no, you could have not told me that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They were like, he was a nonce at a fun fair. You know, I don't want to know. But what? Not like he had his own stall. I mean, yeah. He just happened to be that, you know. He was a passing nonce.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what like...
Still a census of his occupation. Nonce. Practice of noncery or whatever at the time. I don't know.
A noncerer?
Harry Potter and the... I don't know. Look,
and the noncer
is
stone.
We've gone too far.
But look, let me ask you this. What stops people going further and further back? Is it records? Is it, like you say, like just the fact that records were burned and that sort of thing? Is Ireland the harder part of the world to look back on?
Yeah. Ireland's difficult. We're not as hard as other areas. We're lucky that we have kind of patronymic surnames as well. That's another really important thing, is that our surnames go down and they're quite consistent. I was working with an Iranian woman who just couldn't find anything at the time. So she was like, they were like, just research someone else's tree. And she was like, all right, okay. So yeah, basically Ancestry had an office in Sweden and Germany and the US. But Sweden, Germany and the UK are the best places for records, I think, just because those cultures kept better care of records and things like that. So in the UK, I think you could go back, if you were lucky, if you were from kind of noble stock or whatever, you could probably go back to the Middle Ages. You could probably go back to the 1200s. Ireland, it's rare to get past the 1800s just because of records and all that kind of stuff. A lot of records would be kept in churches. So it really depends on the church and whether they were careful with everything and all that kind of stuff. So
how long does it take to look back? Like say, you know, look, we're recording this episode at 3:45. Could I type some stuff at, like, by midnight? Could I be looking back a few generations, or does it take ages?
You could probably get a few generations back, but you won't get too far, you know. And you'll have the basic information about those people. So you might have marriage certificates, you might have birth certificates, you might have census records to an extent. And then things kind of get a bit hazy and you have to go into things like land registers or military records or things like that. So, you know, it'll take you a while to build a proper story, but it's the process of it that people like. So when you sign up to those websites, you build the tree yourself. It's not that somebody does all this for you, because it takes forever and you need to be properly trained and all that kind of stuff to research someone's tree, like, you know.
Were you tempted to just sort of just look people up? Check on Ronan Keaton's ancestry. See if he came from noble stock.
I didn't really do that. I'd find some funny names. That was always fun. Like surnames like Shite or just stuff like, you know, you sort of like search curse words and there's people with those names. Or there's a funny account on Twitter called Ancestry Names, and there's a guy called Nut Bongus who lived in America in like the 1800s. So there's some absolutely mental names out there. It's very funny.
Michael, was there any relative you look back on and thought, oh no?
We have a suspicion basically about a line of the ancestors. Basically, we haven't proved it, we're not sure, right? But there is a line from, I think, my father's side, where there's somebody who built an observatory during the famine. So I don't know if we're related to him directly or not, but around the same area, I think there's a surname Earl in that side of the tree. And often when somebody is an Earl or whatever, they use that as the surname. So it's that kind of thing of like, shit, is that person in there? We don't know yet. But nothing too unsavory, thankfully. You know, we didn't.
Oh, that's good.
No, I didn't check any of the prison registers or whatever, but, you know.
I'd like to come back to building an observatory during a famine.
Yes. I mean, you do that. Surely you do that out of spite. It's observatory of spite.
I just feel like there was more going on. Generally, like, it's hardly like the key issue here, is it? You know.
I'm not excusing it. Like, I don't know.
So it was an observatory to
apologize for it.
Yeah.
No, you should. You should apologize on his behalf. That's mad. And as well, because I was also going to ask, like, was it a weather observatory or something? So it was astronomy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big into.
Do you know where that was?
I think it's in like Leash or somewhere. It's like an observatory. So it's like the Earl of Ross, I think his name is, or something like that.
Wow.
And yeah, it was.
Michael, your family should donate that to your trust.
I don't have possession of this observatory, but...
sell it for potatoes and give them to
I'd
people.
Move into it myself if we owned it, to be honest with you, because Dublin rent is ridiculous, so...
Hazel, have you looked back in any at any of your ancestors?
I haven't. Now, I did, before my grandfather passed away, he was sharp as a tack all the way up to, he was 96 years old, and he actually wrote down for us everything as far back as he could remember, which That's is handy. Quite a few generations back. So I have that in my house, and I actually have been thinking I need to sit down now and go through all that. My mum will be listening now, like, why haven't you gone through that yet? But yeah, no, he knew, he just remembered, which is so handy, because as you say, Michael, it's so hard to find this kind of information. And he knew from his side and his wife, my grandmother's side, all their relatives going back. And he could tell you, like, three generations ago, so-and-so was married to this person and these were their kids, and then they married these people. And it was incredible how much he knew. I feel bad that I don't. So yeah, I have all that. So I think actually I have a good jumping off point if I wanted to kind of even go from there even further back. Does that help,
it
Michael?
It does, if that's what we did. Yeah, because my grandmother was alive at the time. She was in her 90s and exactly the same, just very with it, if you know what I mean. So was able to go back and talk to us about all that kind of stuff. And it was funny, like my granny had 11 or 12 children and basically was going back through them, and one of the families had like six or something. She was like, oh, it was a small family. I was like, what?
Wow.
What are you talking about? Like,
No, but the main thing that came up was it's just very Irish. Just, I was like, there's just nothing else in here but Irish going
we
back.
We got the same. We did the DNA test first. We got, some of us got 100% Irish. And it was like, oh
I didn't know it was possible to get 100% of something.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
There's no way I'm 100% Irish. There's no way.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
My dad's got olive skin.
Right.
Like, there's a bit of something in there.
There is those rumours, though. There's those rumours about, like, the Spanish Armada and all that kind of stuff. And they rarely come
down. I thought you meant about my dad.
Oh, but you're, yeah, specifically him, yeah.
There are those as well. Separate rumours.
Michael, let me ask you, before we get on to a couple of listeners' questions, let me ask you this. And it's a big question, so if you can think of an answer, great. Who's someone in Irish history you would love to have been related to? And who's someone in Irish history you would hate to have been related to?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, maybe one of the heroes of the revolution. Like, I don't know, Countess Markovic would have been cool.
Hazel, write that down. We have to do an episode on that person.
I actually really want to do one on Countess Markovic. I think, do you know what? Let's add it to the list for next week. It's almost been, she's so cool that it feels like a really daunting episode, and I haven't felt ready to tackle it yet, but I will. She's really cool.
Yeah. So somebody like that, I think. Somebody who did something important. In terms of hate, or who I'd hate to be related to, I mean, Oliver Cromwell, I think, is probably the worst one.
We just recorded an episode and Hazel was slagging him off.
Boo, Cromwell. I refuse to say his name without saying boo after.
Yeah, it might not make it into the episode, but Hazel, I think I defended him for about 4 minutes.
You had a lot of nice things to say about him, and I did try and very gently shut that down.
Michael, hear me out on this. I didn't know anything really about him, and then Hazel was telling me a story, and she said he took a couple of guys to war with him, and then when they got back, he gave them loads of land in Ireland, and I pointed out that's a nice thing to do, bottom line.
Where did the land,
do you know what I mean,
come from?
Yeah,
would be the question.
Yeah,
there, you know,
I think he just found it.
Yeah, it was just going. Yeah.
yeah. I think he's someone you'd love to be related to in Irish history.
Who is that awesome pirate woman, Grania Vale?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm saying
Pierce
Brosnan.
Right. You're probably not related to Pierce Brosnan, though, are you? Like, I feel like we'd know that.
I'm actually from the same town as Pierce Brosnan, but we're not related in any way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's not as impressive as
being related. Pretty impressive.
You guys obviously haven't heard that rumour about my dad. It's Pierce Brosnan. My dad is Pierce Brosnan. We have some listeners' questions. I have one from a young man called Aaron Butler, who says, he says... describe in lengthy detail, Michael, your experience working with Aaron Butler on your radio pilot, which could just be a good excuse to tell us about the pilot.
Yeah, you might know about Aaron Butler.
Oh, yes. So that pilot came out in, I think it was October or something like that. So Aaron was one of the only voice actor I had on it, actually. And I wrote everything on it, and it kind of took nearly everything out of me because I was doing a master's at the time. So I was extremely stressed doing it. So it isn't, I wouldn't say that pilot is my best work, but it has borne fruit, and I've been commissioned for 2 series of BBC NI to do the Michael Fry show. So big thank you to Aaron for getting that over the line for me.
I
know what you're saying. It's not your best work, but look, you don't have to have Aaron involved whenever it goes to series, so it's all good.
It isn't that, believe me. He was great. He does a very good Dracula, Aaron. A really sad stepdad Dracula. It's absolutely amazing.
So we've also got a question on Instagram from what looks like WL Rain. I apologize if I'm getting that handle wrong. Who asks, what is your favorite way to eat a fry? We're going to assume they mean a fry up and not a chip.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't answer the other question, but a fry up. I think an Ulster fry is the best kind of fry.
Yes, my God.
You know? I lived in Coleraine for a little while, and while I was looking for a house, my work put me up in a hotel, and I had an Ulster fry every morning, and gained a huge amount of weight. But
talk us through it. This is purely for my benefit. Just talk us through what was on the plate there.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, like, I mean, there's three kinds of, like, you have toast, you have potato bread, and then you deep, is it fried soda bread? What do you call that?
We've got soda bread, potato bread, potato foils. I know a guy can sort you out with a pancake if you want.
Absolutely amazing. Or I'm going to hash brown. And then beans and mushrooms and...
sausages, bacon,
sausages, bacon,
eggs.
Pudding. Oh my God. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the best Irish fry, the best fry possible, I think, is the Ulster fry.
I do think the Irish do the best fry ups. Mm. Now, look, an English breakfast also good. Like, it's close.
Yeah.
But there's something about getting it at home. There's something about the mammy's fry up as well, and the pudding and stuff that you don't get here. However, I have since being home the last time, I'm now trying to eat a lot less meat, so I'm barely eating meat anymore. So I feel like the next time I go home, I may not have the same.
Now with the Ulster fry, if you took out the sausages and the bacon and the pudding, you still have your beans, your hash browns, your fried soda bread, your potato bread, and your toast. So
eggs.
It's mainly carbs,
you're doing well. You're doing well there still.
But if you did that in Northern Ireland in 2022, right now you go to jail.
Yeah.
You don't take the meat out. You don't just take it. You can do it in private. Yeah. You can't do that in a restaurant.
What you do behind closed doors with your fry up is your business.
Exactly. Final question on Twitter from Frogmella, which is, what does Michael think historians will say about his indie band 100 years from now and their political influence on key moments in Irish history? So what do you think the textbooks are going to say about you?
I think if there is a reunification, that one of those songs will be the national anthem, hopefully. Should Enya not be alive to write a new national anthem, I would like, I don't know, Rod Little to be our national anthem instead.
I can't talk too much about unification in case I get shot, but what I will say is you planted the seeds, but see, you praising the Ulster fry and saying it's top.
Fucking hell.
You're a step closer. That's going to do wonders. See, when people hear that, even full loyalists will be like, yes, mate, that's what I'm talking about. If anybody wants to send us questions about this episode or any other episodes, it's hello@nothistorians.com. Michael, we appreciate you so much being our first guest. Thanks for giving up our time, because I know you're working on a lot of stuff at the minute. You're producing content, doing stuff for BBC. I was going to say, if people want to find out more about you, where do they do it? Most people are going to know anyway, but what's the best way for people to look you up, as some might say?
I would say probably Instagram first, because it's like my shop window. It's where I put all my videos. You can find them pretty quickly. But I'm probably, my biggest audience is on Twitter, and I'm also on TikTok and Facebook as well, but I'm not very good at either of those. So Instagram first, and then Twitter, and then various other platforms if you so wish to know more. But it's me just dumping my content on those things and not really doing anything about it. So social media,
as so many of us do. And sure, look, you're so talented in so many other ways. Who fucking needs it? Soon enough, I reckon we'll all be able to hire someone to do all that lark for us. But until then, here we are.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Dumping crap
every
on
social media. Just get out of social.
Yeah, Shane, do all my internet dumping for me. Look, Michael, thank you so much. Genuinely, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. I think it's just been the best way to introduce guests onto the podcast. Loved the story as well. Thanks for bringing it to us. Next week, we're going to be talking about Colonel Thomas Blood, who wasn't a colonel, but was a bit of a messer, dressed up as a parson, beat up an old man and tried to steal the crown jewels. So top bloke. We'll be talking about him next week. Absolutely mad story. And until then, thank you for joining us again, Michael. And thanks for listening,
Michael,
everybody.
You're a lovely man.
Thank you very much.
You're a lovely man.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me on.
So pints next time we're all together. that's just, sorry, part of the contract, Michael. Should have said that to you. Pints, next time we see you. And until next time, remember?
We're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
And until next time?
Just remember, we're not fucking historians.
Oh, no, I'll do it again.
Ah, shit, come on.
I'm shite.
Fucking this up in front of Michael.
So. We'll never live this down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.